Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Dan Wiederer.
You've got a guy with credentials, you've got a guy with some qualifications, and now there's just, when done at its best, provides a level of steadiness and stability that helps create and stimulate success.
On-air contributor for 670 The Score.
Listen, we're not going to accept the status quo. We are going to push for more. We are going to strive for more.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast with our own David Haw.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Dan Wiederer with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Bear down. Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. We're having an emergency draft broadcast, and it is a big, big emergency. Bears got to get better. They got to get better starting with the first pick in the fourth round. And Dan Wiederer joins us now on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Dan, are they trading this pick? Are they going for a pass rusher? What do you anticipate happening in about an hour from now?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see, Mully. First of all, thank you for allowing me to help address the emergency that we all have in Chicago to try to get this thing on the right track. But I think we're all in agreement here that need for pass rush help is paramount. And so given the gap between whatever, 10:30 p.m. last night and the start of the draft this morning, Ryan Poles and that team has had a lot of time to discuss their options, and I hope that they have found a way that within the next 2 hours, somebody that is being announced as a new Bear can get on the defensive line and rush the passer.
So, Dan, day two brings the Bears a couple defensive tackles, Gron Dexter and Zach Pickens, second round for Dexter, third round for Pickens, and then a cornerback, Tyreek Stevenson. They move up to get the Miami cornerback who has some good size and seems like a good fit on the outside, maybe moving Kylie Gordon inside. You need 12 starters in today's NFL. How would you describe the way that Ryan Poles felt about those picks on day two?
Well, look, Stevenson's my favorite of that trio, and I think that there's a lot to like about the traits. You know, he's a big, long, fast guy. Some of the questions that you hear about him is whether he is adept at playing zone and whether his greatest strength is as a press man corner. And so the Bears are going to have to figure out how to work with that skill set and bring out the best in him. Now, the two defensive tackles, David, Ryan Poles described them last night as sort of hybrid guys that can play the three tech but also play the nose. And there seems to be kind of a buzz within league circles that these are two guys that are going to need a lot of development. Obviously, we expect that, and we understand that they're not going to get finished products, particularly at every stage of the draft. But I, you know, given the needs of this defensive front, it feels like you are putting a lot of trust and a lot of pressure on your defensive line coach and your defensive coordinator to bring out the best in these two guys, because production-wise, during their college careers, while both of them have kind of varying experience, there's a lot left there. And you got to hope that both guys, as they told us on Zoom calls last night, are ready to take the next steps in their career, and you hope that they're able to take it quickly because, as has been well documented, the Bears are really, really weak up front, and they can't afford to kind of wait around for a bunch of projects to materialize.
I got a friend who's in Gainesville who goes to all those games, and I was talking to him yesterday, and he said that Gervon Dexter is kind of one of these guys as good as he wants to be, a guy that you know, will take plays off, frankly, and that has been a wrap on Zach Pickens as well, whether true or not. I'm just curious. It was interesting to hear Ryan Poles talk about getting bigger, faster, stronger, but he didn't really address getting more pass rush and getting more edge help. And, you know, yeah, it seems like they want to get the pick back that they gave up for the cornerback. And, listen, they thought the Giants were going to take the kid. They jumped in. There's nothing wrong with doing that. I'm not trying to imply there was a mistake made. But I'm just curious, are you surprised they haven't gone specifically edge? Are they now looking for different types of edge rushers because they think they have something in Dominic Rowe? I don't know what they have there. I know they didn't produce a lot of sacks on the outside, and You can't have a safety lead you in sacks.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'm surprised. I do think that they have so many holes on this roster that there's been a lot of different places to pivot to try to plug some of those holes. But this one's a huge one at a premium position, and they better get busy here trying to find someone that can contribute right away in 2023. And that's why I think, you know, I mean, even at the start of today's draft, you have to kind of go in with some urgency and understanding that you can't just wait around. Now, look, like, I think we're all in agreement that they were never going to fix everything in one off season, but you still have to kind of have that fire beneath you to try, you know, and get after it at some of the bigger positions. And I think that's one hole right now. Again, you've got another 6 or 7 hours of draft today that we'll sift through, and hopefully they get somebody in that range that helps them rush the passer, because it was a mess last year, and they need to get better there in a hurry. And I don't know if that's Adebowari to start the day, and then we all kind of take a sigh and say, okay, let's see what that turns into, or they pivot somewhere else. But yeah, that's it's something that has been a glaring need since the season ended, and it hasn't really been addressed when you're talking about Travis Gibson, DeMarcus Walker, and Dom Robinson being your guys right now.
So, Dan, you've been at Hallis Hall since the draft began. I mean, for the draft, not necessarily spending your nights there, although maybe the lobby is comfortable. You're there a lot.
I was last night.
Yeah, I'm sure. So when you look at last night when day two began and the Bears were on the clock, I have to say I was a little surprised that we heard the name of Dexter announced. I was a little surprised that they went that direction. There were a couple other guys on the board. I wondered about what was the reaction to the people around the team, the beat, and your reaction about who they might have passed up in taking a defensive tackle from Florida.
Well, look, in the media room, I think it was kind of one of those shrug picks. And you guys have covered enough drafts to know that there's a lot of those on draft weekend where you go, okay, you know, you're not necessarily out on it, but you're not necessarily in on it either. You know, you're just kind of like, okay, we'll see what this guy turns into. And, you know, you're just at a position where you'd like to have a little more energy around the guys you're bringing in. And look, like, this will all play out. It takes 2 or 3 years, and maybe Jervon Dexter proves us all wrong, or maybe he becomes the next Ego Ferguson, you know, which is a name that we don't
Ouch.
Like to speak around here. because of what it means for the big swings and misses that obviously set you back. Yeah, I mean, this has been a draft where I think the folks upstairs here have understood and been really pretty grounded in reality, to use Ryan Poles' words, that this is a long journey, you know, and you're not going to necessarily feel super confident and comfortable coming out of this offseason. The problem is there's been a disconnect locally in terms of what it meant for the Bears to quote-unquote control the 2023 offseason. And for all intents and purposes, you know, at 5 o'clock tonight, that much-anticipated offseason of rebuilding and restocking is going to come to an end, pretty much. You know, that's going to be the end of the offseason roster restocking, and you're going to look at it and go, oh, you know, so, you know, maybe they've improved, but certainly not enough to feel like you're nearing the springboard to leap back into contention.
Yeah, I got to tell you, like, there are a lot of little sort of markers in this draft that we're going to look at and come back to and watch unfold in other places and what the Bears did, etc.
Yeah.
But if you told me before this draft started, well, they're going to get an offensive tackle first, then they're going to get a couple guys on the defensive line in a corner, I would have thought, well, they're doing very well. Like, that's exactly what they have to do. They got to build from the ball out. They definitely need corner help, and they went and got a corner. So now it just comes down to, how are they filling out this roster? Who is going to be this year's Braxton Jones? And I don't know that there is a guy like that. But at some point, as we discussed this morning when we got in here, there is no such thing as a bust in the fourth round. Like, you can let your hair down a little now because you've gotten some of the hard work done. But, you know, get edge. You got to get a little bit of an edge here.
Yeah, well, and just to go off that a little bit, in terms of just competitive edge, I feel like they have great confidence in what they think they can develop Darnell Wright into as a guy who brings edge on the offensive line, you know, and a guy that can give you that attitude and that tone-setting demeanor that you want to obviously get your offense going, to keep your quarterback protected, to get your running game on track. And so I think that, you know, when you step back and realize that we spent 3 months trying to figure out what they were going to do in the top 10. And then you see that, Yeah, most people in the league think that Darnell Wright has a chance to be, you know, a starting offensive tackle for you into the 2030s. That's a victory if he can check that box, you know, and I think that that's a good starting point for this class. And now it's all about trying to figure out the blend of day two and then day three picks that can help you, because you're going to need help immediately. We're not trying to fix it all in 1 year, but you still need help immediately. And so you better find some guys today that can come in and do that.
Dan, I want to talk about Darnell Wright for a moment, because I think on the field you see exactly what the Bears see. Somebody who's a rugged right tackle, who's had a terrific college career. He blocked out Will Anderson in one of the best games he's ever played. And so you project him to be a starter day one. We just got off the phone with somebody from the Knoxville News Sentinel, retired sports writer Jimmy Hyams, who I think informed us, I didn't realize, he didn't speak to the media for the last 2 years of his college career, which is to us probably a bigger deal than it is to the fans sitting at home saying, big deal, Haw, why are you making something out of nothing? I do wonder why he didn't. Did you know that, and does that concern you?
No, look, I caught that as I was parking the car here in Lake Forest and getting ready to walk into the building. And I was like, you know, it was a stop and okay, I'm going to sit in the car for another 3 minutes because I need to hear the explanation of this. I would love to learn more about why that decision was made, because you guys know this. This is a big market that is going to have loud voices. Some of them on from 5:30 in the morning until 10 every morning on these airwaves, right? That are going to fairly and critically assess the performance of every player and every leader that is associated with this football team. And so you better hope that decision wasn't made because there's some, you know, tissue paper skin, because this is going to be a rude awakening if it is. David, you did mention the Alabama game, and there's a few people I've talked to that sort of single that out as not only significant in regards to what Darnell Wright did to Will Anderson, but what it meant for the Tennessee program, which had really resurrected itself from some really hard times. And there are a lot of folks that said Darnell Wright had to endure the turbulence of those hard times with the coaching change and the uncertainty and the NCAA knocking on the door and everything that came with that. And just his ability to kind of have that resilience and that perseverance through some real difficult times in the Tennessee program, and the willingness, obviously, in this day and age to not just jump into the transfer portal and go, peace, I'm out, tells you a lot about his willingness to stick through things. And I think the Bears were impressed with that. And that win over Alabama that day in Knoxville, Sam Somerville, the area scout, was there and just really, really appreciated everything he saw that Darnell Wright lent to that upset of the Crimson Tide.
Dan, we know the premium position they need. We also know they've got more picks and they've been talking about trading down. What positions do you believe they have to get out of this draft?
Edge, another edge, and then another edge. You know, there's still some offensive linemen on the board that are worth peeking at. The center from Michigan, Olawatimi, is still out there. Mm-hmm. DeJuan Jones, an offensive tackle that a lot of guys coming into the weekend thought was a really, really promising prospect, still hanging out there. If you wanted to create some added competition in your offensive line room and put some heat on Braxton Jones to really prove who he is and then kind of play that game of who plays right, who plays left, and figure it out from there, that's an interesting one. Look, like, you can't go wrong right now. This roster doesn't have guys that are untouchable. You know, and so you've got a bunch of placeholders all over your depth chart, and now you're trying to look for upgrades. This is the process of finding upgrades. And so wherever that is, I think we still need to continue addressing, as we've talked about forever, in the trenches, build from the ball on out. But right now, pretty much every position is in play in terms of what I see. And then just to give you guys, because I know this is the Princeton show at times, the receiver from Princeton, Andre Yoshivas, is still out there. So keep your eyes on where he ends up today.
Can he hit a three?
Oh, you mock me. Yeah. You mock me, Dan.
And I know he knocked down a three. That's all
yes.
We need to know.
Is he Blake Peters? Look, Dan, also, while you're in the mockery mode, is there going to be a quarterback that comes off the board today and is called by the Bears? Do you think that they, with one of their 2 7th-round picks, or maybe even the 5th, will go quarterback for a guy to add to the mix?
So I'm going to test your recall, because I gave you a homework assignment for our podcast and name me 3 day 3 quarterbacks that you would roll the dice on. Do you remember the 3 guys that you named, or did they
absolutely
already disappear?
Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
Still on the board.
From Houston, and the future senator and or country music star Stetson Bennett. Those are the 3 I mentioned on the spot, and they're still on the board.
None of them will be Bears by the end of the afternoon, and I don't think there will be a quarterback addition by the end of the afternoon. I think they feel really good about the Justin PJ Walker combination. They got Nathan Peterman back under contract to run some preseason reps and hang out during the dog days of August. I don't think they're in the market right now to try to make that day three swing. We'll see if I'm wrong. We've differed in the opinion on whether they should or shouldn't, but that's I don't think that's on the priority list for today.
Dan, when you look around the division, obviously the Lions, you know, we actually talked about it before the draft. Like, we come in tomorrow, the Lions will have won the – and they ended up going with the running back from Alabama, which is – he's a great player and very fast, Jahmyr Gibbs. And then Jack Campbell, linebacker from Iowa. Not that these guys can't play, but they're certainly not 12 and 18. You could have gotten those picks later, maybe. But I thought they came back well. I like Sam Laporta, the tight end. And Brian Branch is going to be a really good player for them. They got a quarterback. They got another tackle. I thought they rallied a little bit, if that makes sense. But I was left scratching my head after the first round. What have you seen in the division that would either think things are going well or going bad?
Here's the luxury of having six in the top 100 is that you can make some dice rolls, and all of a sudden it's like you can forget the ones that were like, ooh, what were you doing there with right. Jack Campbell as a top 20 pick. And I thought, like, to your point, I think they did a nice job yesterday of addressing some needs. I know there was a lot of kind of curiosity in Detroit on whether they would swing at a quarterback. There's a sense that, like, they didn't want to rattle Jared Goff and have him looking over his shoulder coming off a year where he really excelled and seemed to find his footing and put them into playoff contention. And so now you've got that conversation starts anew with Hendon Hooker in the building and them trying to figure out kind of the developmental on-ramp for him and where they go with that. Gibbs is a guy that people love. You know, as a player, you've got an absolute difference maker as a runner and a guy who can help you almost in the Kamara mold of catching passes and right. getting out and making big plays in that regard. 12 seems a little rich, but my rule is always, if that's going to be your last opportunity to get a guy and you really love him, it's not a reach for you. And so we'll see how that one plays out. I think the oddity of it is you have DeAndre Swift. You just signed David Montgomery. It didn't seem to be your top need, and you moved down from six and then wound up with a running back to show for it. There's some speculation that they were hoping that it was going to be Bijan there, and they were happy with Jahmyr Gibbs as well. But pretty fascinating draft in Detroit, particularly for a team that right now is sort of considered the favorite to win this division.
Dan, let's go back to Tyrique Stevenson. I'm curious, Ryan Poles talked about him playing outside, Kyler Gordon moving inside. Couple things. He on tape, they know what they're getting. He looks really solid, and they saw him at the Senior Bowl. Do you think that he's ready to step in as a day one starter, as they say? And then second to that, what message does that send, if it sends one at all, to Jalen Johnson, a guy who they have talked about committing to long term, a guy who is still probably their best overall corner?
I don't think it sends any message there, David. I think that Ryan last night was publicly praiseful of Jalen and saying, I hope he's part of our core for the long term. And they have this vision of having these three young guys as a trio in Stevenson, Jalen Johnson, and Bum and Kyler Gordon inside to play the nickel position. One of the questions that you get from other folks around the league is when you use your first pick as a general manager on a corner and he becomes the headliner of your first draft class, and in year two you're already bumping him inside for an exclusively nickel role, you know, how much did that pick really pay off with a roster that had a ton of needs? We'll see. But I do think that they think in this trio they've got something here, and they're going to push Tyrique Stevenson. They're going to push him to be ready for week one, to be on the field, to be capable of starting, to grow with this secondary, which obviously also has Jaquan Brisker and Eddie Jackson on the back end. And I think they feel as good about the back end of their defense as we feel worried about the front end of their defense.
I got to tell you, the thing you said that's going to burn in my mind is that, you know, this is it. This is your last chance. Because I know they'll jump back and get Riley Reiff or whoever before the season starts. But the fact is, when I look at this, I'm not going to think about the draft. I think I'm going to look back at this season and think about how they spent their money and how little of their money they spent. It seemed like they could have done even more if they wanted to in free agency and maybe freed them up into a different position in the draft. But whatever.
Yeah, Molly, I don't disagree, and I think it's why the three of us, I think, were both feet on the brakes, you know, in December when this was sort of being framed as this upcoming legendary offseason that was going to fix everything that's ever been wrong with this team, this roster, and this organization. And then you're going to get to 6 o'clock tonight, and you're going to go down the two deep at every single position on offense and defense and go, oh, that still looks like a mediocre to below-average football team.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thanks, Dan. Great catching up with you.
Good stuff,
Dan.
All
right, Dan. Guys. Enjoy the day.
You too. That is Dan Weidner. That's hysterical. Well,
he's grounded. I mean, he definitely is right. And we're getting some pushback on the Texans. We're not complaining about who the Bears drafted. I think we're looking ahead and trying to look at this as a total picture and what still might be missing and what still could be filled in today and how that relates to what's going to happen next year.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I'm not complaining. I like I said to you, David, if we had come in and you gave me these, just these positions are what they, I'd been like, yeah, that sounds like a sensible way of attacking a draft. That's it. Now we're going to pick apart the what could have and what should have and all the rest of it. But the fact of the matter is they're going for the right guys. So you feel good that they're at least they've got a nice blueprint that they're following. And here's hoping. Get to it quickly and do it. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on The Score.
Mully and Haw.
Longtime listener. Huge fan of the show.
On 670 The Score.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I've been getting a small glimpse of it just as soon as I got here, you know. And I'm ready to just, you know, I'm trying to get, I want to see this town get back to how it can be, you know what I mean? And yeah, I've definitely seen some of that.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That is Darnell Wright, and he was on The Score with Parkinson Spiegel yesterday. And, David, we have some breaking news. Breaking news on 670 The Score is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. There has been a trade. The Bears have traded. From the trade down goes from 103, that goes to the Saints, and the Bears get 115 and 165 in return.
So they get their fifth round pick back that they gave up to move up to get Stevenson. They get another fifth rounder. They drop down 12 spots. They probably feel very good about that. I did like the idea of them getting the first bite at the apple today, didn't you? I mean, I thought that was going to be an exciting spot to be in. The Saints obviously have somebody in mind. I wonder who that might be. You wonder if it will be the Northwestern kid, the pass rusher, the hybrid defensive lineman, Adebuare. But I do like the idea too, Mully, of them getting another asset and getting the guy back in the fifth round, that choice that they gave up to move up to get Tyrique Stevenson.
So you move down 12 spots and you you pick up 165. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. They still have 2 fourth round picks, right? Mm-hmm. They got, is it 133? They got the 130, I believe. They have the bottom of the fourth round today. And as you said, instead of taking the first pick, they go down 12 spots, but they still pick in the fourth round, and then they pick up. Another 165.
So, let's recap what they have today. They now have 115 and 133 in the fourth. Yep. They've got 148 and 165 in the fifth. They skip the sixth to go get lunch. And then 218 and 258 in the seventh. That's where you could get your quarterback. That's where they will probably get whatever Brock Purdy duplicate they can envision. I doubt it. But they have 6 picks today now.
Okay, so I'm just looking at the... Akili Ringo, the Georgia cornerback, is probably the player that New Orleans is going for. Maybe he is, a very highly thought of corner prospect, and he's projected as the first guy. Maybe it's DeJuan Jones. We mentioned the offensive tackle from Ohio State, other offensive tackle. So, you know, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting.
Mully, I think I saw some guys who had the analysis that they weren't convinced there was a big gap between Paris Johnson Jr. and DeJuan Jones at Ohio State. Mm-hmm. And here, DeJuan Jones still on the board as day 3 begins. I like what you're saying, though, about Ringo. You could envision a team like the Saints wanting to move up and to take a cornerback that has dropped for reasons that are – who knows why he's still on the board. He's got 6'2", 207-pound frame. That's really good for an NFL cornerback. The Matt Miller NFL comp – is Trevon Diggs. Wow, that would be quite a guy to add to your secondary. If that's the guy the Saints are fixated on drafting, you understand why they would want to move up.
Yeah, I'm just taking a quick look at who the Saints have taken in the 2023 draft thus far. They have started out, let's see, that's not the right one. I'm just trying to think what positions they've gone for and what picks they've already taken. One second.
Well, they're going to be...
They took the TCU running back, right? Because there is a running back here. I was wondering if maybe they were thinking about moving up for the Texas second running back, right? We're always looking at the seconds now, the other tackle from Ohio State and the backup running back or the second running back.
Saints are a team in transition. They got Derek Carr taking over at quarterback. Yeah. You figure they would want to get him as many weapons as possible. They also, and let's face it, this is the approach. We're talking about specific needs and how teams will address them. You're in day three. You're in the fourth round. Give me the best player available. We can fixate on what the Bears need. They need to get edgier. They need to get their edge rush. All those things are true and ideal. But, Mully, if there's somebody on the board that you have ranked and
he's
clearly
significantly higher,
you take him no matter the position, right? If you're the Saints, you move up and you're kind of motivated by that premise that drives every general manager today.
I like the Saints draft. They took Brian Breesy, the Clemson defensive tackle, and then they doubled back with the defensive end from Notre Dame, Isaiah Folksky. My brothers were going crazy about that pick because they were hoping he would wind up with the Bears. They thought that was a good pick. And then
I did too. Yeah. I wanted him.
And then the TCU running back, as I said. So that's interesting. Maybe it is the corner. Maybe they got two guys on their defensive line, and now they're looking to help that defense. Or maybe it is an offensive tackle, as you mentioned, with the new quarterback.
Yeah, I think that it's in play. Now the Bears are off the clock, and so they have some other considerations to make. And when they drop down, you do wonder about what position they may be settling for, looking for. I do wonder, as they move down to 115, if that's a spot where a guy like I mentioned earlier, the Purdue wide receiver, Charlie Jones, I wasn't convinced he was still going to be on the board today. I thought he might be a day two pick. He's had a very productive career. He's got some good traits. And you do wonder, wide receiver, are you done? Do you feel like they have enough? It's a crowded room. They've added through trades. They added through free agency. They retained some guys. I just wonder, are they done now adding wide receivers to the mix?
Tyler Scott is also available. I'm just looking at a list of players, and he is slightly ahead of your guy, Charlie Jones. But both those guys are kind of – they would fit into the position where the Bears are now drafting at the 115 spot. So interesting.
Can we take a step back for a moment?
Yep.
I want to address what you talked about, you asked Dan about as well. And because they're in the division, it is relevant in Chicago. The Lions –
yeah,
the Lions are a team that I think we found on Friday very easy to criticize when we were on the air Friday morning, because I did not understand their first-round decision-making process. I did not understand going for Jahmyr Gibbs at 12 and Jack Campbell at 18.
Mm-hmm.
Two guys in the first round that aren't value positions. You don't draft those guys in those spots, and I felt like they blew the first round. They lost the plot, as I pointed out. But, Mully, they had a very good round two and three. They had a very good day two. Brian Branch, to me, at 45.
Good pick.
That guy can play football. He is a leader. He is all over the place. Safeties are not valued. I know he ran poorly at the combine, 4.5. But you know what? He plays at 4.4 because he sees the things before they happen. He's an Alabama safety, and we know how they do in the league. That's a great pick.
You know, I mean, I just want to be careful about – I don't want to dismiss Jahmyr Gibbs as a player. I think he's got back-end speed to burn. You know, they brought in David Montgomery, and they're going to get a guy that can be a workhorse, and then they got a guy that's going to be a home run hitter. He's going to pop huge runs, and they're going to get their running game some dynamism. They've made a couple of moves in the offseason, and now they got a guy with massive speed that is going to help you in different ways. And I think Jack Campbell's a good football player. I think that what you got to remember is when you're talking about the 12th and the 18th pick, there is also position value to these picks. In other words, both those guys were probably going to be available significantly later. Now, it's fairly obvious they felt they could trade down and they would still be able to get Bijan Robinson. And so then they felt that there were only two of these guys that were first-rounders. So at 12, all right, we traded down already. Let's just get our running back. So you kind of understand that. But even if linebacker is a great need for you, you could get that. You might be able to get that around later. I mean, that is not as – it's just the position value that you have to pause with. It's not that they didn't get good football players. And maybe they'll end up improving as a team, and maybe those guys will be part of the reason. But, you know, getting a tight end who is going to help your offense after you traded your tight end, by the way, that is a nice pick. Getting, Brian Branch is a really good football player. That is a seriously nice pick, as you say, an Alabama safety. We know how good those guys are. And that helps their whole secondary, which they've had problems with.
And let's face it, the biggest, most significant pick that they made yesterday might have been
the quarterback.
Quarterback.
Yeah.
Hendon Hooker is coming off an injury.
Yep.
He's unlikely to contribute in 2023, but they don't need him. They've got Jared Goff coming off a really good year, and they may have found their quarterback of the future in the third round, somebody who, had he been healthy, as we have seen these projections, might have been a first-rounder. Hendon Hooker could be somebody that the Bears fans are tired of seeing in a couple years because of the way that he has, you know, he's a dual threat guy. He's somebody that is very dangerous. And the Lions were smart in taking him off the board, much like they did. Now, I know it's a different scenario, but remember they drafted Jameson Williams when he was coming off an injury in the first round last year, and they were willing to wait for him to develop. Now he's got the gambling suspension. But it was a smart move, and it's not to be overlooked just because Hendon Hooker won't be available necessarily right away in 2023. They can stash him, develop him, wait for him to heal and get better, and he's going to be somebody to reckon with for the Bears in the future because he is a dangerous quarterback.
He can someday be their Jordan Love. I didn't go Aaron Rodgers because I don't want that to happen. But
right, no.
He hopefully this can be a bad player, and all the quarterbacks in the division can be bad. That would be a very helpful thing for the Bears.
Well, the Bears can help make that happen by drafting an edge rusher today, or maybe a couple, because that's the way that you put pressure on the quarterbacks in your division by getting pass rushers who get to the ball in a bad mood.
Ah, we have an agreement. We have an agreement here on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. We got a lot of ways to go. What do you think? They've already given up the pick. Maybe we'll get some reaction. I'm guessing that means that there's no Tommy Adewale, right? It doesn't seem like he's going to be around when they get to. I don't know.
Adetamawa Adebawore.
There we go, Fitz.
Fitz does that so well.
Molly, it's only 13 picks. You never know.
He's had a lot more practice than us. Let me just say that.
He could still be there. You never quite know what teams are looking for. You never quite know what teams are driven by. So maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
We'll see. 312-644-6767. Do you love a good trade down? Get the edge. Molly and Haw on the Score.
Molly and Haw. Live and local. Chicago Sports Talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
I think for myself, I mean, it's going to be a lot of, you know, first, just right now I got small goals. Just set the foundation to come in and just whatever my role is, just play that role and do the best that I can in that role. And then I have some, like, long-term goals. I want to be the best tackle. I want to be the best anything I'm playing. You know what I mean? I just want to be the best in my position, do the best that I can. But it just kind of starts with those small goals, setting the foundation, and starting small. You know what I mean?
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. There is the self-proclaimed best tackle in the draft. That's Darnell Wright. What? Why are we laughing? He did say it, didn't he?
He did. Yeah, he sounded bold.
Career goals. I like him.
I love ambition. You got to have that kind of attitude coming into the league. You want a little nasty. You want a little edge. That's recommended. I'm only chuckling because all of this bravado I think that we heard yesterday, and it was great to hear, great to have him on the station even before he met the assembled media at Hallis Hall. It was terrific. But Mully, I was surprised. I'm still chuckling at the fact that this is a guy and a kid at college who didn't talk to Tennessee reporters for his last two seasons.
I am jaw dropped over that one. You would never have known that.
No.
Given the way he came in and everything, and then he's on the air and he's talking to everybody. I mean, I got to tell you, I did think at one point, like, God, this guy's really brassy. Like, how come I don't know more about this? Like, why haven't I read more interviews with him over the course of my research? Because, you know, Baldy gave us a heads up on him fairly early, and we were
we were
digging into different stuff, and I never knew. I thought, like, wow, this guy's got a lot more swagger than I thought.
And some of the pre-draft interviews during the process, and Danny and Matt played one yesterday coming in where he was bold and he was loud and he was confident. I think you like that mentality. It certainly is the one that Ryan Poles described when they were recounting that great workout in Knoxville, which I think one day will be made into a documentary on Bears.com, goodness sakes. But, Mully, yeah, I think that I didn't know that was – we're not criticizing or complaining about his tone.
No.
I just think we're surprised by the fact that he was that forthcoming with his confidence.
All right, we got a lot of people who want to check in. Let's get to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. We'll start with Rick. Rick is on the road. Hey, Rick.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, my question, so Doug Kramer, any updates on him? I know we're trying to figure out a solution here at the center position. And then one final question, too. What is your guys' take on Jaren Hall out of BYU picking up now maybe towards the end of the draft?
Well, I don't know about Doug Kramer. I think he's going to be obviously somebody they are looking at developing. They didn't have the unfortunate injury last year. He was a late-round pick that they projected. I don't know that Doug Kramer's progress or lack thereof would prevent them from drafting a center in, you know, today with one of the picks, Mully. I still think they're looking to supplement the interior offensive line as best they can.
Yeah, they are still, I don't know. I mean, we project they're in the market for a center because they got rid of Sam Mustipher, and he was their starter last year. And Lucas Patrick is back, but he hasn't been able to play. I don't think – how many games did he start? Did he even start a game? You know, they signed him in free agency, and there was the Green Bay connection, and they loved his weight room leadership. Whatever. But he was not available. And Kramer might have gotten a look at it, might have had an opportunity to compete, but he got hurt, and he's still in there. They still have his rights, and he's still a guy. And – there's even been talk about Cody Whitehair moving back to that position because they've moved Nate Davis in on the right side, and they're moving Jenkins to the left. I don't know how they feel about Jenkins, David. I mean, this is not the group that drafted him. They seemed reluctant with him in the past. They got something out of him, but he's been hurt a little bit as well. So I don't know where they're at with that player.
It'd be premature to give up on Tevin Jenkins.
That's
my opinion. I think that when you look at
wouldn't it have been premature last year when they were talking about giving up on him and they were talking about trading him?
I didn't understand that at the time,
yeah.
And I would understand it less now. After seeing him perform at an acceptable level show some potential when he was healthy, when he was engaged. Look, Mully, I think they have to be consistent here. If they are going to invest – all of that hope in their offensive line coach, Simo, Chris Morgan, that, you know, he's going to get the most out of Darnell Wright. And his evaluation of Wright during that workout was what really persuaded them and helped influence them. Well, you know what? You got another young man at left guard in Tevin Jenkins that needs that kind of attention to detail, that needs that kind of coaxing perhaps. Get the most out of him. He was a second-round pick. Now you've got to maximize that value by keeping him maybe at a position where he showed some promise on the right side last year. Cody Whitehair can play center. That's your five guys. You want to have five guys that you feel good about coming out of the draft. And I think the Bears, as they wake up tomorrow morning at the end of the draft, can say they feel pretty good about their offensive line.
Is Simo your favorite coaching nickname on this staff? Is that what
I'm going to have to think about that?
Yeah. It's the one you lean on most.
I know. Yeah. Well, hey, listen.
I'm not complaining.
The most, they are introducing it to the Bears lexicon.
I feel like we're getting to know him better because we now know he's SEMO.
Dustin Bookham. Let's get him.
Let's
get him on the show.
Let's find out, Dustin. Let's find that personality. Let's find out how he got the nickname, what it means.
Tap into it. Yeah. SEMO.
Yeah. Where the hell did they find that nickname for Chris Morgan? Let's try Rob. He's on the Odyssey app. Hey, Rob.
Hey, guys. Love the show as always. Thanks for being up on Saturdays because we have nothing to do but focus on the Bears. But
it's an emergency draft broadcast. You know that.
I'm with you. Hey, I'm with you. It's an emergency watching like me. But, you know, I think we talked about this before. There was such a delta between the talent of the Bears and a good team in the NFL. I mean, I don't want to give Poles credit yet, but, man, even besides trading Roquan, most of these guys, and I'm a guy, you know, who's just looking at it from a fan point of view, were kind of second stringers, so there's so much to chip away. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I think the first pick is one of the biggest ones. If that offensive lineman is good, to me, you mentioned Tevin Jenkins. I think Tevin Jenkins is a solid player, especially on that line. Justin Fields and maybe a receiver. Now we have DJ Moore in the offseason. The two linebackers are at least, in my opinion, starters. But then we've got, other than the secondary, we've probably got, I'd say we have about 12 position players on the offensive and defense that we really probably need to replace. That might be a stretch, but I'm going to give Poles the benefit of the doubt, and because everybody loves their draft until the first day. So yeah. I just wanted to get your thoughts. I know there's just such a lot of work to do.
Great stuff.
Well, that's it.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for the phone call. You know, you do want to believe in everything at the draft. It is the most optimistic time of the year. And, Molly, I think that's part of the appeal, why the draft remains so popular. Every team believes that every guy they pick was the right one, and the one that, boy, I can't believe that he was still on the board.
All right, 312-644-6767. That's why everybody high fives after a mock draft. If you get a player, he was the guy you were dreaming of. Doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter that you just learned about him in a meeting right before you selected him. That's not true. They know all these guys. They're still doing guys they have reports on. You figure they go about, they probably put together like 150 reports or so, right? So by half the draft, and then you're not just relying on the scouts yet. The scout portion of the program comes a little bit later. It's Mully and Haw. We'll get to your calls. 312-644-6767. It's Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL Podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Live and local, Chicago Sports Talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
I think for myself, I mean, it's going to be a lot of, you know, first, just right now I got small goals. Just set the foundation to come in and just whatever my role is, just play that role and do the best that I can in that role. And then I have some like long-term goals. I want to be the best tackle. I want to be the best anything I'm playing. You know what I mean? I just want to be the best in my position, do the best that I can. But it just starts with those small goals, setting the foundation and starting small. You know what I mean?
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. There is the self-proclaimed best tackle in the draft. That's Darnell Wright. What? Why are you laughing? He did say it, didn't he?
He did, yeah. He sounded bold.
Career goals. I like him.
I love ambition. You got to have that kind of attitude coming into the league. You want a little nasty. You want a little edge. That's recommended. I'm only chuckling because all of this bravado, I think, that we heard yesterday, and it was great to hear, great to have him on the station, even before he met the assembled media at Hallis Hall. It was terrific. But, Mully, I was surprised. I'm still chuckling at the fact that this is a guy and a kid at college who didn't talk to Tennessee reporters for his last two seasons.
I am jaw-dropped over that one. You would never have known that.
No,
given the way he came in and everything, and then he's on the air and he's talking to everybody. I mean, I got to tell you, I did think at one point, like, God, this guy's really brassy. Like, how come I don't know more about this? Like, why haven't I read more interviews with him over the course of my research? Because You know, Baldy gave us a heads up on him fairly early, and we were we were digging into different stuff, and I never knew. I thought, like, wow, this guy's got a lot more swagger than I thought.
And some of the pre-draft interviews during the process, and Danny and Matt played one yesterday coming in where he was bold and he was loud and he was confident. I think you like that mentality. It certainly is the one that Ryan Poles described when they were recounting that great workout in Knoxville, which I think one day will be made into a documentary on Bears.com, goodness sakes. But, Mully, yeah, I think that I didn't know that was – we're not criticizing or complaining about his tone.
No,
I just think we're surprised by the fact that he was that forthcoming with his confidence.
All right, we got a lot of people who want to check in. Let's get to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. We'll start with Rick. Rick is on the road. Hey, Rick.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, my question. So, Doug Kramer, any updates on him? I know we're trying to figure out a solution here at the center position. And then one final question, too. What is your guys' take on Jaren Hall out of BYU picking up now maybe towards the end of the draft?
Well, I don't know about Doug Kramer. I think he's going to be obviously somebody they are looking at developing. They didn't have the unfortunate injury last year. He was a late-round pick that they projected. I don't know that Doug Kramer's progress or lack thereof would prevent them from drafting a center in, you know, today with one of the picks, Mully. I still think they're looking to supplement the interior offensive line as best they can.
Yeah, they are still I don't know. I mean, we project they're in the market for a center because they got rid of Sam Mustipher, and he was their starter last year. And Lucas Patrick is back, but he hasn't been able to play. I don't think – how many games did he start? Did he even start a game? You know, they signed him in free agency, and there was the Green Bay connection, and they loved his weight room leadership, whatever. But he was not available. And Kramer might have gotten a look at it, might have had an opportunity to compete, but he got hurt, and he's still in there. They still have his rights, and he's still a guy. And there's even been talk about Cody Whitehair moving back to that position because they've moved Nate Davis in on the right side, and they're moving Jenkins to the left. I don't know how they feel about Jenkins, David. I mean, this is not the group that drafted him. They seemed reluctant with him in the past. They got something out of him, but he's been hurt a little bit as well. So I don't know where they're at with that player.
It'd be premature to give up on Tevin Jenkins.
That's
my opinion. I think that when you look at
wouldn't it have been premature last year when they were talking about giving up on him and they were talking about trading him?
I didn't understand that at the time, and I would understand it less now. After seeing him perform at an acceptable level show some potential when he was healthy, when he was engaged. Look, Mully, I think they have to be consistent here. If they are going to invest all of that hope in their offensive line coach, Simo, Chris Morgan, that, you know, he's going to get the most out of Darnell Wright, and his evaluation of Wright during that workout was what really persuaded them and helped influence them. Well, you know what? You got another young man at left guard in Tevin Jenkins that needs that kind of attention to detail, that needs that kind of coaxing perhaps. Get the most out of him. He was a second-round pick. Now you've got to maximize that value by keeping him maybe at a position where he showed some promise on the right side last year. Cody Whitehair can play center. That's your five guys. You want to have five guys that you feel good about coming out of the draft. And I think the Bears, as they wake up tomorrow morning at the end of the draft, can say they feel pretty good about their offensive line.
Is Simo your favorite coaching nickname on this staff? Is that what
I'm going to have to think about that.
Yeah. It's the one you lean on most.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, hey, listen.
No, I'm not complaining.
The most, they are introducing it to the Bears lexicon.
I feel like we're getting to know him better because we now know he's Simo.
Dustin Bookham. Let's get him.
Let's
get him on the show.
Let's find out, Dustin. Let's find that personality. Let's find out how he got the nickname, what it means.
Tap into it. Yeah. Simo.
Yeah. Where the hell did they find that nickname for Chris Morgan? Let's try Rob. He's on the Odyssey app. Hey, Rob.
Hey, guys, love the show as always. Thanks for being up on Saturdays because we have nothing to do but focus on the Bears. But
it's an emergency draft broadcast. You know that.
I'm with you. Hey, I'm with you. It's an emergency watching like me. But, you know, I think we talked about this before. There was such a delta between the talent of the Bears and a good team in the NFL. I mean, I don't want to give Poles credit yet, but, man, even besides trading Roquan, most of these guys, and I'm a guy, you know, who's just looking at it from a fan point of view, were kind of second stringers, so there's so much to chip away. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I think the first pick is one of the biggest ones. If that offensive lineman is good, to me, you mentioned Tevin Jenkins. I think Tevin Jenkins is a solid player, especially on that line. Justin Fields and maybe a receiver. Now we have DJ Moore in the offseason. The two linebackers are at least, in my opinion, starters. But then we've got, other than the secondary, we've probably got, I'd say we have about 12 position players on the offensive and defense that we really probably need to replace. That might be a stretch, but I'm going to give Poles the benefit of the doubt, and because everybody loves their draft until the first day. So I just wanted to get your thoughts. I know there's just such a lot of work to do.
Great stuff.
Well, that's it.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for the phone call. You know, you do want to believe in everything at the draft. It is the most optimistic time of the year. And, Molly, I think that's part of the appeal why the draft remains so popular. Every team believes that every guy they pick was the right one, and the one that, boy, I can't believe that he was still on the board.
All right, 312-644-6767. That's why everybody high fives after a mock draft. If you get a player, he was the guy you were dreaming of. Doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter that you just learned about him in a meeting right before you selected him. That's not true. They know all these guys. They're still doing guys they have reports on. You figure they go about, they probably put together like 150 reports or so, right? So by half the draft, and then you're not just relying on the scouts yet. The scout portion of the program comes a little bit later. It's Mully and Haw. We'll get to your calls. 312-644-6767. It's Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.